Today should Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Tes. We will begin on Daf Samach Ches Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud. Ubayluhu. Naflal gav chala. If a mouse fell into vinegar, my, what is the halacha? And as the Rishonim explained, yesterday, at the end of this year, the Gemara discussed what is the halacha if a mouse fell into beer. And the Gemara actually brought two versions of what the halacha is. One version is that a mouse into beer is a nice tam l'shvach, and one is that it's a nice tam l'bgam. So as Rashi explains the Gemara's question now, that even if we'll say that a mouse into beer is a nice and tam l'shvach, maybe a mouse into vinegar, given that vinegar has such a strong taste, is a nice tam l'bgam. Tosfos explains that the Gemara's question is according to the opinion that holds that a mouse in beer is a nice and tam l'bgam. And the Gemara's question is, maybe when a mouse falls into beer, that's when it's a nice tam l'bgam, but when it falls into vinegar, it's a nice tam l'shvach. Omalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, Hava Uvda, there indeed was such an incident where a mouse fell into vinegar, Bei Rav Kahana, in the home of Rav Kahana, the yeshiva Rav Kahana, Vasa Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana said that the mouse, that the vinegar became asr. And as the Mefarshim point out, as we learned earlier, Rav Kahana is the man d'amar that holds the nice tam begam is mutter. And what the Gemara here is saying is as follows. Maybe it's still a nice tam begam, but our Gemara is going according to the man d'amar that a nice tam begam is asr. Says the Gemara, who was the man d'amar that said when a mouse fell into vinegar, the vinegar is asr? It's Rav Kahana. And as we remember, Rav Kahana holds nice tam begam is mutter. So were this to be a situation where a mouse falls into beer, it's considered nice tam begam, why would Rav Kahana say it's asr? Obviously, a mouse falling into vinegar is a nice tam l'shvach. Amalei, so says the Gemara, they said that that episode is not necessarily a raya that a mouse into vinegar is nice tam l'shvach, because that was a unique situation. Who emrtutei emrtit? Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what emrtutei emrtit means. Rashi explains that the mouse didn't get completely dissolved and disintegrated in the vinegar. There were small pieces of mouse flesh in the beer. When do we say something can become bottle? That's only when you have the taste. But when you have actual pieces of Isser, since you have actual pieces of Isser, it can't become bottled because you're eating those actual pieces. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, it's obvious in a situation that you have small pieces, but those small pieces can't be filtered out. Because if they can be filtered out, then just filter them out. And if it's bottled in the right quantity, as we're going to discuss in a moment, it should become bottle. It's obvious that there are small pieces that can't be filtered. On the other hand, point out the Paiskim, those small pieces have to be somewhat visible, because the halacha is something osir, which is not nearly nine, which is not at all visible, is never osir. Otherwise, as the Paiskim say, we would not be allowed to drink water ever. There's certainly always organisms in water. We wouldn't be allowed to breathe the air because there's organisms in the air. The thing is, since they're not visible, anything which is not near le'naim is not usr. Furthermore, Rashi makes a very important point. Rashi says that we're particularly concerned by achbar, we're particularly concerned by a mouse, because a mouse is one of the shmoina shrotzim, and the halacha is that a sheretz, the Shemayna Shrotzim, the mouse being one of them, even though normally the size of anything in halacha is a kazayis. By shmona shrotzim, the shear is kadasha. Since it gives off tumma at the size of a dasha, dasha means a lentil, so too is the isra chila on an adasha. So where Mefarshim explain what Rashi's trying to say is, since we see the Torah was so machmer regarding shrotzim, included in that chumra of shrotzim is that even the smallest amount of sheretz we have to be very careful about. Ask Tysis, if we just learned that we have to be so concerned about even the smallest amount of sheretz that we shouldn't eat, and that's why when the mass fell into the vinegar we're so concerned when there's small pieces remaining there. Ask Tysis, honey is made from the secretion of a bee. Tysis says when they make honey in the bee, there are pieces of the legs of the bee that are left in the honey. And here we're saying that even the smallest piece of something that's usur may not be eaten. So how can we eat honey? So Tysis says that the legs of the bees are in the category of atzamis, of bones that aren't usur, that dried out bones, then they're not usur. Other mefarshim explain the reason there is no problem with legs of the bees in the honey is because honey has a very interesting characteristic. It completely takes over anything that gets absorbed into it. And since these bees' legs get absorbed into honey, that's why the honey is still remains mutter. There are other pshatim and rishonim in them too to your merit. One pshat that I saw is that indeed if could be that if the vinegar, if the mass fell into the beer and was removed quickly, there would be no problem. Here what happened was that the mass remained in this beer for a while. And just like we find in the halacha concept of kavush kumavushal, there's two items are kept together for a long time, even if they weren't cooked together, it's considered kavush kumavushal. Here, because the beer, the mass remained in the vinegar for such a long time, that's why you have a halachic issue. Another pshat that I saw, and I'm true to the in the Rishonim, is that here we're referring to a situation where the mass was skinned. So if a mass still has its skin on it, then it's indeed a nice tam b'gam when it falls into vinegar. But if the mass had the skin removed before it fell into the beer, it's not a nice tam b'gam. Continues the Gemara. Ravina saval shiur b'mei v'chad. Ravina assumed that when a mass falls into a beer, the shear that it becomes betel is you have to have a shear of 101 ratio to 1. Why? Like government truma. He felt that it should be no different than the halacha of truma. The tran, we learned the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Trumas, that truma oila be'echa v'meya. The truma that falls into something else becomes batel if you have a shear of 100 to 1. And as Mefarshim explained, he wanted to use truma as the model for betel, where the halacha by truma is that the shear is 100 to 1. Why truma versus anything else? Ola, kali akerim, have a ratio of 200 to 1. So why not use them as the model? So Mefarshim respond, truma is not osu b'hanah. Ola and kali akerim, as we learned many times, are osu b'hanah. So that's why Ravina felt that comparing a achbar, which also is osu b'achila, mutu b'hanah, a comparison to truma is a better fit than a comparison to Arl and Kal Karim. Amar et achlifa b'gizel Ravina. Dilma ketavlan shetrum b'gedera. Dummy. If we're comparing a truma, why are we comparing it just to regular truma that has a shear of 100 to 1? Maybe we should look at it like a spice. Deloy bottle tamayu, that never becomes bottle. And as the Mefarshim point out, why doesn't it become bottle? Because as we know, the halach is that anything that's milsad avid latama doesn't become bottle. If that's the point, it has nothing to do with truma. It has to do with the item that it's milsad avid l'tama. In fact, many Rishonim say, since the Gemara spoke about truma, it continues speaking about truma. It has nothing to do with truma. The Gemara's question is that maybe we should look at the mass as a milsad avid l'tama, that the halach is that a milsad avid l'tama is never bottle. Rav Acha shir b'chal b'chamshin. Rav Acha, on the other hand, had a shear of 50 to 1. Why? Because he said that since it fell into vinegar, and vinegar, as we said earlier, has such a powerful taste, the mass already becomes bottle. You don't need the normal 60 to 1 ratio. The 50 to 1 ratio is enough. Shmuel b'Rei Rav Iki, shear b'shikr b'shitin. He said the shear is a 60 to 1 ratio, as it is in other areas of halacha. Vilchus and halacha is that both when it fell into beer or fell into vinegar, the shir is shitin. The ken kol surah shmetaira. As we know, whenever we speak about nisatam, the shir is a 60-1. And here again, we repeat the Rishonim Rashi speaks about it, and other Rishonim discuss when is the shir, when do we use the shir of shishim. So we have a very big machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, whenever you have min b'minoi, two similar items, we defined earlier in the week what min b'minoi means, then it's never bottle at all. B'mashahu. Min b'she'en aminoi is b'shishim. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says min b'she'en aminoi, he agrees with Rashi, is a ratio of 60-1. Min b'minoi, Rabbeinu Tam actually holds, the midaraisa, the shir is roif. Midrabbanan, the shir is shishim noisim tam. There are exceptions to this rule. Two notable exceptions: a chametz bePesach, the shir is b'mashu, and yayin nesach, as we learned on Willa Mitzvah, learn again on Daf Ayin Gimel, the shir is b'mashu. Furthermore, the Pesach can point out that when we say that you have to have a 60-1 ratio, let's say we have an item like our Gemara, a mouse fell into the pot of whatever, and we're able to retrieve the mouse. Do we look at it as a ratio against the whole mouse, or do we look at what we assume was expelled taste-wise from the mouse, which is much less than the whole mouse? So the Pesachim will say, whenever we look at Shishim, we don't really have a way of determining how much was expelled. We have to halakhically be machmer to look at it as if the whole item is usur, and you have to have 60-1 against the whole mouse, even if you were able to retrieve the mouse. There are rishonim that suggest a kula. We typically don't follow this kula. But let's say you had a fleshiger spoon fall into your pot of milk. So since the spoon is made out of metal, and it could be kashered, so we don't need 60 against the whole spoon, we only need 60 against what we assume the spoon expelled. Again, we normally a machmer against the entire item that we need shishim. Our Mishnah Gemara, Mitzvashem now, go back to what we've been discussing, the halachas of Yayin Nesach, and the halachas when is it considered Yayin Nesach and when is it not considered Yayin Nesach. Says the Mishnah, Ayv Kachavim, Shayim Maver, Ayv Kachavim, Shayim Maver, Im Yisrael Kadi Yayim Mokal Mokam. He was transporting together with a Jew barrels of wine from place to place. If we assume that they were properly being watched, mutter, then the wine remains mutter. But let's say the guy was told, the Nachri was told that the Jew is going to be away, and therefore he feels confident that he could touch the wine because he's not going to be caught. So the amount of time is, if the Jew was away long enough that the Akum could have made a hole in the seal of the barrel, taken out whatever he's taken out, and then sealed it again, if that's how long the Jew was away, then the wine becomes asur. Rishim Gamliel is more makel. It's not just making a hole, as the Gemara will explain, Rishim Gamliel will explain, that would be noticeable. It's talking about a case where he takes off the entire lid and takes out the wine and puts on a new lid. If the Jew is away that long, then the wine is asur, otherwise it's not. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah. The Ravid says a little differently. The Ravid says that Pshat in the Mishnah is that the Jew, it matters how long the Jew told the Akum he will be away. According to Rabban, if he told him he'll be away for the amount of time it takes to do all it, to make the hole and repair it, then the wine is asur. If he told him he'll be away for less, then the Akum is scared to touch the wine. And according to Rishon Gamliel, the shear is a longer shear. Our Mishnah is discussing a sealed barrel of wine. But the Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha in the following cases? One is if the barrel is open. So most Rishonim are of the opinion that if the barrel is open, then it's always going to be usur if the Jew goes away. Because since to just put his hand in and touch the wine and take it out takes a second, so therefore there's no heter. If the Jew goes away, no matter what the circumstances are, it's asur. There are Rishonim that say since our Mishnah doesn't differentiate between an open and closed barrel, even by an open barrel, it would be mutter. The problem with that pshat, those Rishonim, is that why shouldn't they be concerned? We spoke about earlier in the Masechta that if a guy carries my wine in an open barrel, that itself may be an act of nisuch. So it should be usur anyway. So some explain it depends on what kind of a barrel. If it's a wide barrel versus a narrow barrel, that's one pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw is concept that we've discussed earlier. The Taz suggests this concept that since the Akum is preoccupied in transporting the wine, so he's not going to be thinking about doing nisuch, and that's why maybe mutter. But as I said, most Rishonim are of the opinion that if it's an open barrel, that's not the discussion of our Mishnah. Where there is an interesting debate is, let's say the barrel is not, like we discussed and we'll continue discussing, completely sealed, but the barrel has a stopper in it. It just has a cork in it. What would be the halacha? Here, most Rishonim feel that if the barrel has a cork in it, then the din and the Mishnah will apply. Just the shear will be a sort of shear. The shear won't be the time it takes to make a seal. It's the time to take out the cork and put back the cork. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, does it make a difference how far the Jew travels? When the Jew didn't inform the Akum that he's traveling, does it make a difference how far he travels? Or as long as he didn't inform the Akum, therefore the Akum is assuming or concerned that the Yisrael is going to show up any minute, it's mutter. Some say if he traveled more than a mil, the wine becomes usur. Others say it doesn't make a difference. Even if he traveled more than a mil, it's mutter. Similarly, the Rishonim debate, and we'll understand this machlokes a little better in the Gemara soon. When the Gemara says that when the Mishnah says that since the Yisrael didn't inform the Akum that he's leaving, the Akum is mirsus, the Akum is concerned that the Jew could show up any moment, what does that mean? Does it mean that that in itself is a reason that the wine should be mutter? Or does it mean that only if the Jew could show up in a way that the Akum wouldn't know that he's coming? But if the Akum could see, if the Akum could see him show up any moment, then the halacha is that it's asur, achleikus. It's interesting, we've mentioned previously in our shiur, and we quoted a Rashba, we quoted a Chidah, that the halachas of what works as a shmira by Stam Yenom and the halachas of Yichud travel together. And what we're learning here is an adequate shmira for Stam Yenom may be an adequate shmira also for Yichud. Where does the question come up? A very commonly asked question is the Yichud an elevator? Comes up very often. A man walks into the elevator, and there's a woman in the elevator, and it's only the two of them in the elevator. Is there an issue of Yichud? So certainly, if you live in a building where you have an elevator that could stop on any floor, there is no issue of Yichud. Because since when you and this woman are in that elevator, you don't know if it's not going to open up on any floor immediately, so there's no shaila that that's mutter. The question is, as in most office buildings, the elevators don't stop on every floor. Let's use the elevator in this building. The way it works is, if you work on the 12th floor, the elevator you use doesn't stop anywhere in the first six floors. So now you're going to be in the elevator for sure the amount of time it takes to go from floor 1 to floor 7. Because the elevator is, we know that if the elevator door is closed, it isn't stopping, not before it can reach floor 7. And let's say we even take the most chumrah de geshir in Yichud, which is 2 minutes. The elevator is going to open up, could open up before 2 minutes. It doesn't take that long to travel to floor 7. But again, the question is, do we have a situation of chatzi shir or not? Because Rav Shulayb Diskin says that there is a concept of chatzi shir by Hilchas Yichud. So the Pious can use our Mishnah to prove why it's mutter. Because what does our Mishnah teach us? That if the Akum cannot accomplish opening, touching, or whatever with the wine, and closing within the shear of Yichud, within the shear that the person will come back, there's no problem. So we see that unless you could get to the entire shear, there's no Isser. So here too, say the Pious Kim, unless you could end up being there uninterrupted, for the shir yichud, the fact that you're there for less than the shir, it's not asr. And the Mechsitchik suggests it could be even Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin would agree. He says Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin is talking about a case where originally they planned to be there for less than the shir, but they could end up being there the whole shir. So even though they didn't plan on that, and even perhaps they didn't end up being there that long, there's a concept, says Rabbi Shul Leib, of chatzi shir. But in a place where it's impossible to come to that shir, the elevator example that we've been giving, there is no iser, and it would be 100% mutter to be in that elevator, the scenario we suggested, we spoke about. Continues the Mishnah, another situation. Hamaniach yena b'kroin of his tefila. If somebody puts his wine in a wagon or on the boat, v'olach lebekafandria, and he traveled v'nichtas l'medina v'rochatz, and he went off to the bathhouse, the halacha is mutter. The wine remains mutter, given that the nachri was not aware that he'll be away. However, im haidia shumaflik, if the Yisrael informed the nachri that he's going to the bathhouse, and therefore the nachri is not concerned, so here we have the shir. Tanakama holds today shiistam v'yistam v'yigayv. Shem Gamliel Omer today shiftach sechavas v'yigayv v'tigayv. Hamni a third scenario. Hamniach ayvik kam b'chanos. If somebody leaves an akum in the store, abishiyatz v'nichnas, even though he's not there all of the time, mutter. And as the Rishonim point out, here we're learning that there's a heter that to be considered adequate shmira, adequate hashgacha, you don't have to have the person there all the time. Yotz v'nichnas is adequate. And the Rishonim say, it's not just adequate, but the evid, l'chatchila, we could rely on yotz v'nichnas. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, we already learned the concept earlier that if a mashgiach, who's a yotz v'nichnas, is considered adequate as hashgacha, why does the Mishnah have to repeat it? So Mepharshim explained that there we were referring to a case where somebody was appointed to be a shomer. And the Mishnah taught us, you considered an adequate shomer, you considered that you did your job acceptably if you were, even if you were yotz v'nichnas. Here we're not talking about a person who was appointed to be a shomer. We're speaking about the owner of the wine. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even for the owner of the wine, yotz v'nichnas is good enough. So again, hamaniach ayvik chacham v'chanos, abish yotz v'nichnas mutar. However, mediu shumaflik, if he told him he's traveling off, there the shir is k'day shiyistoim v'yistoim v'yigayv. Shem Gamliel Omer, k'day shiyistoim v'sechavis v'yigayv v'tigayv, if it's the longer shir. Says the Mishnah, another scenario. Hay oichel imay al shulchan. The Yisrael and the Nachri were eating on one table. V'yilaginim al shulchan, and they were flasks of wine on the table. V'lagin al dufki, and there were also flasks of wine in the pantry, on the cupboard. V'niach v'yotza, and then the Jew leaves the table. So the halach is, mashal shulchan is asur, because since the akum was invited to eat on the table, so he doesn't feel any compunction to touch the wine, because he was invited to drink from that wine. However, shal dufki, what is in the pantry, that he wasn't invited to eat, to drink from, that will remain mutter, if the akum has no reason to be concerned that the Yisrael is showing up any minute. The Mamalai have a Mizik Vishaisa. But if the Jew before he left told the Akum, whatever you want you could take, then not only is the wine on the table Asr, but even the wine Af Ashal Dufkiki is Asr. On the other hand, says the Meiri, what about the opposite situation? Where Yisrael told the Akum, I'm leaving, and make sure not to touch any of the wine. And the Akum doesn't know when the Yisrael is going to show up. So there, not only is the wine in the pantry mutter, but even the wine on the table is mutter, because the Akum has the mirsas. Chavis psuches, so where the Jew told the Akum, you could continue drinking while I'm gone. The halacha is chavis psuches, the open barrels are asur, stumes, but the closed barrels are mutaris, because we don't assume that he touched it, he had no reason to touch them, and the shir is, how much? As long as he's not away that long, k'day shiftach v'yigayv v'tigayv, that he could take off the lid and put on the lid again. Ask the Gemara, heichi dami b'cheskes ha-mishtamer. What is considered cheskes ha-mishtamer? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question, is, we discussed this when we learned the Mishnah, how far could the Yisrael travel and not be, and there is no concern that the wine becomes awesome. Tysus has a different approach. Tysus' approach is it enough that the Akum, I'm just going to summarize what Tysus says. Is it enough that the Akum doesn't know that the Yisrael could show up any moment? And given that he doesn't know that the Yisrael could show up any moment, that is enough to create a shmira, or does there have to be other conditions met to create a shmira? Kritanya says the Gemara, there's a braisa. The braisa says, Hareisha yechamarav or pe'alav. Someone's workers were carrying tu'unim taharis. They were carrying taharis. A field hifkman yosef mil. Even if they traveled further than a mil, the halach is tarois of taharis. His taharis are considered tahar. We don't have to be concerned that these amratsim touched it. But if he told them, I'm going, and you keep on traveling, the halach is kimishnas alma mahem tarois of tameis. As soon as they no longer, he doesn't have an eye in them, they become tam. Ask the Gemara, maishna reisha or maishna seifa? What's the difference? Why in the reisha do we say it's tar? If the workers are, we're concerned that we are dealing with workers who are maratzim, and that workers who are maratzim, whatever they touch becomes tamei, it should be the same in the reisha. Maishna seifa, and why in the seifa are we machmer? Amar Rav Yitzchak responds, Rav Yitzchak, reisha matar chamar pal lakach. The reisha is referring to a situation where this employer took his employees who are amaratzim to the mikvah before they worked for him. And therefore, since he took him to the mikvah, no longer do we have a concern that whatever they touched there is tameh. Ask the Gemara if we're talking about such a situation that the workers are tahar because they went to the mikvah before they began working. Yachi seifa nami. So then in the seifa too, where he told them he's traveling off, why are we concerned? Even if they touch it when he's not there, their touching won't do anything to this taharis. They're not tar themselves. Answers the Gemara. Yachi seifa nami. Answers the Gemara. Eina ma'aretz makbel maga chaveri. If the employer travels away, so even if the workers themselves will touch the barrels of wine, and they won't do anything to make them tamei, because they are tar, they went to the mikvah, but they're not careful to prevent anyone who is an amaretz, their friends, from touching. And therefore, if the employer who's careful is there, he's watching, he's making sure that they don't touch. If he's not there, he isn't there to watch. Says the Gemara, if that's the concern, even if they went to the mikvah, why aren't we concerned that they're going to let their friends, who are maratzim, touch this produce? The reisha is where he could show up any moment, and they know he could show up any moment. So even if he isn't physically with them, the fact that they're nervous that he could show up any moment causes them not to allow anybody to touch it, or even themselves. And in fact, the Rishonim say, now that the Gemara is giving this teretz, of Balahem Derech Aklason, say the Rishonim, we don't have to respond that we're talking about workers who are maratzim that went to the mikvah. We don't have to come up with such a interesting case. In the Reisha, where the owner could show up any moment, and he could show up undetected on any moment, it's mutter, because that causes them to have a mirzus. Sefer, and the safe also, he could show up any moment, undetected, come in a roundabout way. But since he told them, I'm going away and I'm not coming back so soon, that gives them the confidence not to have the mirzus, not to be concerned that he's showing up, and they'll touch it. So now again, we're not talking about that they're tar. The question is, are they going to be mirzus? Is there a mirzus or isn't there? However, the Ritva and the Rajba make a very interesting point. The Gemara is saying here that if the employer could come derech aklason, that he could show up in a roundabout way and that they could be caught any moment, there's a mirzus. But, says the Rajba, let's say there are a number of workers who are maratzim, and there's a number of different routes through which this employer could show up, but they could put a different person to look out on every one of the routes. So now it's not considered derech haklosin. It's only considered derech haklosin if there's no way of having a lookout to see if the owner is coming. We learned in the Mishnah, so just to quickly review, the Mishnah spoke about three situations where a Jew, but Yisrael, left the nachrit with his wine. And all three scenarios, the Mishnah had the same machlokes. Machlokes, Tanakam, Rav Shimon Gamliel, what is the shear? Where the Tanakam is saying the shear is the amount of time to make a hole in the bar, in the seal and fix it. And Rav Shimon Gamliel said the amount of time is longer, the amount to take off the seal and put it back on. So the obvious question is, why do we have to have the same machlokes in the Mishnah three times? Says the Gemara B'tzricha. We had to mention the same machlokes three times. If we only had the first case with the Akum and the Yisrael traveling together. So there, the Akum has real mirsas. Because he's always concerned, that he's going to show up any moment, and he'll catch me touching the wine, which I'm not supposed to do. When he's going on a wagon or a boat, the Akum will take the boat or the wagon off to somewhere, and he'll do what he wants. I, the Jew, will tell him, why did you take it off where it wasn't supposed to be? The Akum will have a convenient excuse that it wasn't me that took it off. The wind blew it in that direction. And therefore, since he has a good excuse, we will think therefore there is no longer a mirsis. Teaches us the Mishnah that even here there remains a mirsis. We he can't know for sure which way the Yisrael is going to show up. He may show up on a way where he could see the Kayaguda, where he'll stand, the Chazali, he'll see what I'm doing. So therefore, even if I end up directing the boat or the wagon to a place where I don't assume the Jew to be, he may end up showing up and catching me. Where Avikacham is left in the store. He could go into a corner of the store. Vavid called a boy. And he could do whatever he wants in that store because he won't be detected. Kamash Malon. Since the owner of the store could show up at any moment, therefore there's a mirsis. The Rishonim debate if this heter applies even when the Akum could close the door of the store. We'll discuss this more in tomorrow's share. Continues the Gemara. So as we said a moment ago, in our Mishnah, we learned three times, the Machlokes of Tanakam Rav Shimon Gamliel, what is the amount of time? When the Tanakam says the amount of time to make a hole in the seal and repair it, and Rav Shimon Gamliel said the amount of time to take off the whole lid. Arav Avachara, Arav Rav Yoach, Machlokes B'shal Sid. The Machlokes of the Chachamim Rav Shimon Gamliel is when we have a seal, when we have a lid made out of plaster. Aval b'sheltit, if it's made out of clay, the Raka Kadesh Yiftach v'yigoyv v'yigoyv. Everybody will agree that the amount of time is for him to take off the lid and put on a new one. Why? So just to explain the basic mitzvahs. When you have a lid made out of plaster, and you make a hole in that lid, the plaster is white, and then when you put in a piece of plaster, it's also going to be white. So it's hard to detect from the top. You could detect, and we'll see this more in the Gemara in a moment, from the bottom. Because even though on the top you could pour in a little white plaster, and nobody will ever be able to see that it was tampered with, on the bottom, it's hard to make sure that the plaster that you pull into this hole is smooth on the bottom. On the other hand, if you have a lid made out of clay, clay doesn't remain white. It gets dark, but it takes a couple of days to get dark. So let's say somebody's going to make a hole in a clay lid, and then afterwards fill it up with clay. It'll be very noticeable until it will take a couple of days not to be detected because the difference in colors will make it noticeable. Now let's learn the Gemara. So the Gemara said, the Gemara is saying now, buy a plaster lid where it's not detectable. That's when we have a machlokes. By a clay lid, if there was a hole and it was repaired, it would be detectable. There is no machlokes. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says, Rabraisa, Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, L'chachomim, V'lai Stuma Nikar, the hole is noticeable, Be'im Milmal, Be'im Milmata, You're saying just the amount of time to put in a hole, to make a hole and repair it is enough, but isn't the hole noticeable? Isn't that repair going to be noticeable? Now the Gemara makes its point. Yeah, b'shil tit machloikis, if we'll say that the machloikis is by clay, so that's how we explain. Hanedetani, as we explained, if the hole, if the lid is made out of clay, and it's repaired, stumanicker, that repair will be noticeable, beimil mala, both on the top, beimil mata, both on the bottom. Why? Because as I said, there's a discoloration for a number of days. Eli am b'shul sid machloikis, if we say the machloikis is by a plaster lid, b'shulam mata yediyah, we understand what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that on the bottom, since you can't be sure what happened, it's noticeable. El Lamala asked the Gemara, Halayidi, it's not noticeable. So why is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying to Rabbanon that if it's noticeable, both on top and bottom? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel, hud lo yodam ekam Rabbanon. Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't quite certain what the Rabbanon was saying. Vach kamuhu. And this is how he responded to them. E amrit, if you're speaking about a barrel whose lid is made out of clay, I don't understand your opinion why you're saying that it's just enough that the hole should be repaired. That repair, it'll be noticeable both on top and bottom. If on the other hand, you are saying, that we're talking about a plaster lid, ned lamala, so now I understand your opinion regarding the hole on the top, because you just fill it up with plaster and it's not noticeable. However, lamata mi yediyah, you still have the problem on the bottom. So how are you just saying that the shear is the amount of time to make a hole and repair it? Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would defend himself. Kim lamala lo yediyah, since it's not noticeable on top when it's a plaster lid, even though it's noticeable on the bottom, they're not worried about that. There is no missus. Why is there no missus? Lamasik adate the apik v'chazalei. He doesn't think that anybody, that the Jew that comes to check up what's going on here, is going to go so far to check, open up the lid and see if it was tampered with on the bottom. Inami, and another thought that the guy may have, zim d'cholam. We said that when the Akum, or whoever fills that hole with plaster, he can't be sure that it's going to be smooth on the bottom. It means you can't be sure, but it could happen. And therefore the Akum says to himself, number one, the top I have nothing to worry about. Why do I have anything to worry about? Because it's not noticeable. I on the bottom it may be noticeable. There are two reasons that I'm not worried about it. First of all, who's going to go start checking? And you know what? Maybe I got lucky, and when I repaired it, it was smooth on the bottom. And therefore, that's enough of a time that the Akum will feel comfortable in tampering and not getting caught, and therefore we don't have a mirsus, and therefore it's awesome. On the Rava, however, says Rava, the halacha of Shimon Gamliel, we take the longest shear. The shear is not the amount of time to make a hole and repair it, the amount of time to have to take off the whole lid and put it back on. Why do we pass on the Shimon Gamliel? Says the Gemara, Hol v'tan stomach of a say. Since we have in our Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah, as we're going to say in a moment, a Stam Mishnah. So this falls into the category of Machloikis Vachkach Stam. And whenever we have a Machloikis Vachkach Stam, we follow the Stam. Where do we see a Stam? Because the end of the Mishnah said, that's not, if the straw and the akum were eating together, and the flasks of wine on the table, and flasks of wine in the pantry, and then the Yisrael leaves. So the Mishnah Paskin, Mashal Shulchan Osir, what's on the table is also because the guy feels comfortable in drinking that wine. However, Mashal Dufki, what's in the pantry is Mutter. But the Mishnah continued saying, Vim Amalai have a Moizik Vishaisa. If the Jew was even more courteous and he said, drink what you want, then the halacha is Afshal Dufki Osir. Not only is the wine on the table Osir, but even the wine in the pantry is Osir. What did the Mishnah say? However, which wine is Asur? Chavi is Psuches, Asuris. The open barrels are Asur, because we have to really be concerned that the Akum feels very comfortable in taking from that wine. Stumais, but the barrels that are closed, and we don't have to be concerned, and a Mutter. However, if the Jew was so far away, went away for so long, that the Akum could take off the lid and put it back on all before the Jew comes back, it's Asr. So it's clear that the Mishnah is teaching us, a Stam Mishnah, that the Shear is the amount of time to take off the lid and put it back on, not the time to make a hole and fix it. As the Gemara, obviously, we have a Stam Mishnah like Shem Gamil. What is the Shaila? This is a perfect example of a Stam Mishnah, or even better said, it's a perfect example of a Machloikis V'achkach Stam. Answers the Gemara, maybe the way to understand the Mishnah is not that the end of the Mishnah is teaching us a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon Gamliel, but the end of the Mishnah is just continuing speaking about the Machloikus of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. And the Mishnah is only representing the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, but the Chachamim will disagree, and it's going to be still a Machloikus. Kamash Mulan to know that this is a situation of a Stam, and we have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that's why the Aloch is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Ask the Gemara. Now that we've established that we follow the opinion of Shem Gamliel, that the shear is not the time to make a hole and repair it, but the shear is a longer time to take off the lid and put it back on. And furthermore, Hilchas Kavaseid Rebbe Lezer, that the halacha is like Rebbe Lezer, the lechayish lezuyufa, that whatever barrel of wine has a seal, we don't have to be worried that the Akum will tamper with the seal and forge a seal. Ask the Gemara, hidden in my Tamil, why do we ever have a problem? And as Taisa says, why do we have to paskin like both of them? Because if we paskin like the Rabbanan, we'd have to be concerned that maybe the Akum made a hole and fixed it. But now we're saying we're not worried about that. And if we weren't paskin like Rebbe Lezer, maybe we have to be concerned that the Akum tampered with the seal. But now that we established that we follow opinion of Rebbe Lezer, that we're not concerned that the Akum tampered with the seal. And we also pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel that we're not worried that he made a hole and took wine out of it. So then a barrel of wine that is sealed even with one seal, an Akum moving it should be mutter. It's the Gemara, my Tamil and Mesmin and Cham B'yad Akum, and it's the Gemara Mishum Shaycha. What they did very commonly was that they used to make an opening in the barrel of wine, because as the wine ferments, it forms gases. And if there won't be any way for those gases to escape, the barrel of wine will just bust. And therefore, because there's a hole in all barrels of wine, or many barrels of wine, that type of barrel will concern that if the Akum transports, he'll put his finger in through that hole, and that's when it's usur. But indeed, according to the Gemara, if it has a seal, it's mutter for Akum to transport it, because we don't have to be concerned. We have no reason to be concerned. Tosfos also discusses that we're speaking about an earthenware barrel. What would be the halacha on a wood barrel? Some Rishonim say that a wood barrel has the same din as a earthenware barrel. Then there are two other opinions. Some say a wood barrel is even better, because by wood barrel it's hard, if there would be any tampering, it would be always noticeable. Others say a wood barrel is made out of slats, and he could always try to make an opening between the slats, and a wood barrel is more chomer than an earthenware barrel.